Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being here with us. Hope you enjoyed the first 60 minutes of the program. If you miss any part of it, you can subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And thank you to everybody who has taken the time to rate and review the show. We even got one particular review during the show last week where the guy says, or excuse me, I shouldn't say the guy. The person says, I love Jason Ross, but that other guy is an absolute idiot.
Hey.
But they subscribe to the podcast and listen, so we appreciate.
To be fair, he might be talking about me.
Oh, they were.
Oh, that was my assumption.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they certainly weren't talking about me. Like, right. Who on earth would they? People refer to me as far worse than an idiot, far, far worse. But thank you to everybody who has taken the time to do that. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you're wrapping up your lunch break, you're getting back into the office, you won't miss a single second of the show. If you download the Radio.com app on your smartphone, you can listen to KHDK all day right there on your smartphone device, or you can pull us up on the computer, KHDK. .com. It's been a great deal. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the big story today. He is looking like he is out for the year. You heard Chris Verlade mention there, and it's a broken collarbone on his throwing shoulder, unlike a couple of years ago where he broke the collarbone on his left side. This time he has broken it on the right side. You heard Chris Verlade mention just a moment ago, Rick Pitino officially out as Louisville head coach. No real surprise there. Like, we knew. We also knew there were terms and parameters in the contract that said, okay, you have to wait a certain amount of days. It kind of has to go through a vetting process before he officially gets fired. And that time frame is up now, and he is gone.
Was that the last straw? Is that what did it?
Lord.
My goodness.
A quickie in the bathroom with an assistant wasn't enough to do it. Strippers for recruits, that wasn't enough to do it. I don't even remember. What was it? Which one is it that finally did it?
Students getting paid.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. The pay. You can't pay student athletes. You can make $1.5 million from Adidas to not wear Adidas during the game, by the way, because you're wearing a suit, but can't pay these kids. Can't pay these kids a single dollar. We haven't touched on any baseball today. We talked about the Raiders losing. Sorry, we'll probably have to cover that again. So plug your ears, Raider fans. A weird week. We told you it would be, too. No marquee matchups in the NFL. We told you it'd be weird. No marquee matchups in all of college football. But yet, by the time we got to Saturday, Clemson had gone down. Washington State had gone down. And we lost what? I think we tried to count before the show. Did we lose four more undefeateds this weekend?
Yeah, I was trying to make the list. So we lost, as you said, Clemson and Washington State. Washington, San Diego State, Navy also as well. I mean, there were several. There's not that many left that are still undefeated. So it was a – and most of those, the theme
– spoiler alert, Bama won.
Yeah, and easily.
Bama's okay.
But, again, this gets back to kind of an offshoot of what we were talking about the NFL. The NFL, we don't have to decide. We debate who's good, but it's decided by winning your division and two wild cards. In college, the committee has to decide who they're putting in. And so that's a judgment. That's, hey, I like this win. I didn't like that loss. Or this loss hurts you. This conference is good. That conference isn't. And it's the ultimate judgment, and I don't know how you do it because I'm always going to defend the Pac-12. I don't know that they'll get a team. I always say they won't because I think they beat each other up. Some people would say the division's it's just not as good. Okay, I'll even hear that argument, but I think it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any shame in Washington going to Arizona State and losing. It's difficult to win on the road in the conference. Cal, what, had seven turnovers they forced on Washington State? Nobody's going to win that game. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a road game. Washington State hasn't been on the road. That's the same team, though, that looked pretty good and beat USC. And then Stanford's not very good this year. Well, they sure look good right now. Yeah. They're getting hot.
Yep.
USC's just skating by. Well, they only have one loss. I mean, it's a difficult conference from top to bottom, but I don't think they'll get a team in because I do think they'll beat each other up.
And the biggest winner of the weekend, the Big Ten.
Yeah, they had a good weekend.
I'm not even talking about the games that they won. I'm talking about with all those Pac-12 teams losing, guess who reaped the benefits from it? You got Alabama at number one, of course, no surprise there. Penn State moves to number two. Georgia at three, TCU at four, Wisconsin at five, and Ohio State at six.
Wait, say that top four again. I know it's Alabama.
Penn State. Georgia. TCU. That's the top four. Then Wisconsin and Ohio State at 5 and 6. Then you got Clemson, who lost.
Yeah.
At number 7.
Which, again.
To round out the top 10, just to be thorough, yeah. Sorry. Miami, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State with Southern California right after that.
So 3 Big 12 teams are in there. Wow. Oklahoma State, and TCU. Yeah, I mean, they like certain conferences. And a lot of that top four, there's, like, no way that's going to stay. I mean, there's no way. I mean, obviously, Georgia and Alabama play each other later. You got, or that's could be in their championship.
I'll go so far as to say one of those teams in the top five will be there at the end, and it's Bama. Penn State, Penn State is the class of Big Ten. I think Penn State is the class of the Big Ten. Maybe they'll be there. Georgia won't. TCU won't. I don't think Wisconsin will either.
But will they run into the same problem as the Pac-12 has, where, all right, Penn State might be the class of the conference, but you're still going to have to navigate some landmines here, and they still may be the class of the conference, but it could be a slip. Look, the slip-up they almost had was Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't really envision that being a trouble spot, but
right.
They nearly got clipped there.
I don't like Michigan. I don't think Michigan – I like them a lot going into the year. And I can't.
They can beat them this week. I don't think they will either, but they can.
Michigan can beat Penn State?
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like
weird things happen in college. I don't think they're good enough, though.
Okay.
And that's where I was going. I was high on Michigan, feeling like, okay, this is going to be the year where they get some of those quirky wins, and they may wind up undefeated at the, you know, once we head towards the playoffs, they might finally get Ohio State this year. After watching them play, I don't think that they're good enough. And I don't think that they're good enough to beat Penn State. That doesn't mean that they won't. This is college football.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't have to be. You have to be better than the team you're playing one day. Just like there's any given Sunday, and that's the super popular pro football line. Any given Saturday or any given Friday night or every given random Thursday evening game, you could just as well be better than Penn State on that day or better than Wisconsin. And I think that's going to have to be the case when Ohio State plays those two teams because
yeah.
I'm not sure. Ohio State, that obviously AP is bigger on Ohio State. And what are we, 3 weeks from – 2 weeks from the first Pro Football Champion college football?
Yeah, it's the end of October, so yeah.
Yeah, so we're not that far away from the first college football playoff standings.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about when is the Ohio State – Penn State. It's 2 weeks. I mean, the next 3 weeks for for Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, all three are ranked. Now, they may get through all that and boost themselves. Not surprised at all if they lose one of them.
If Penn State beats those three teams handily
– They can afford a loss in the Big 12 championship probably.
That's tough. That's tough.
I think Alabama can.
You know,
like if Alabama went undefeated and lost in the SEC championship, they're not falling out of the top four.
Depends on who they lost to, though. What if they lost to?
If it's Georgia,
but they play in the regular season, though.
I don't think they play. Isn't Georgia on the other side?
You're right.
I don't even think they play them. Sometimes you do, but I don't think they play them.
So you would put both participants of the SEC championship game into the Final Four?
If that happened, yeah.
If they're both undefeated at the end of the year.
Well, Alabama would be clearly one. Like, there wouldn't be any mistaking them as number one if they had gone through the rest.
Right.
And then lose to someone like Georgia. Yeah, I don't see them going to five. Unless, you know, how many other undefeateds are there left?
Yeah. Well.
That's what makes it so tricky and difficult.
That's also tough.
Exciting and frustrating. It's all of it.
It's like college football is the most complicated math problem in all of the world. And I was told you get into sports, there's no math involved.
Yeah.
They'll do the math for you. You try to figure these things out and navigate the waters as to, okay, what will the college football playoff committee, what are they really, really looking at? Would you be shocked? I wouldn't be shocked if Penn State runs through those next three games and the first college football playoff rankings come out and they're ranked number one.
Penn State?
Yeah,
they get through those. Yeah, I could see it.
I wouldn't be surprised at all because you're looking, again, you just mentioned Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. All three of those teams are ranked. Ohio State's ranked sixth. Michigan is ranked, I think they're 12th. Michigan State, is 18th. So Michigan's 19th, Michigan State 18, Michigan 19. I could see a situation come about where the playoff committee's like, yeah, no, this Big Ten's really good. We're gonna put Penn State up there at the top.
I could see that.
I don't know how you'd explain that to Nick Saban, and I wouldn't want to be the one to explain it to Nick Saban. Granted, I don't think that he cares, but I'm sure he wouldn't be above placing a phone call. Hey, just curious.
Yeah.
We haven't lost a game since we lost to Clemson last season. Why exactly aren't we number one? Because you've had us at number one this entire time. Why would you move us now? And that's one of the difficult things is once you have a team at number one and they continue not to lose, how do you move them out of it?
Right. And they not only continue not to lose, they continue to dominate. Like, there hasn't been a mystery. They haven't been close. Yeah, their remaining schedule is Tennessee, LSU, Mississippi State, Mercer, and Auburn.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, exactly.
What was that?
Mercer. And so, again—
Isn't that a high school out here somewhere?
So. Yeah. And when we have preseason rankings, you know, what was the showdown to start the season? Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We think differently of them now.
Yeah.
So, but you can't penalize them for that. I mean, they still beat them. It was a good game. They stretched it out in the second half, but they've just dominated everybody they've played.
I was trying to find.
The Clemson one was a shocker, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
Syracuse?
Yeah.
Syracuse
was a 20.5-point favorite or something. I mean, or underdog, either way you look at it, and just.
Not good.
Clemson? Yeah.
And Clemson had been, oh, yeah. That's,
so that was, good, that's so a, convincing. Yeah. I still think they're one of the four best teams, and they have a shot to get right back there. But they lost, which I hate, probably early enough. Oh, they did lose early enough.
They did, absolutely.
What did they drop to, 7-8?
I just said it, 7, yeah.
7, yeah.
I was trying
fine.
To find it.
Yeah. I'm not fine, but the map is there. It can easily happen for them.
Oh, no, they're
easily.
TCU's not going to be there at the end of this conversation. I don't think Georgia's going to be there at the end of this conversation. Penn State, I do. There's room for a one-loss Ohio State at this point. One loss. It's going to be difficult for Ohio State to keep themselves as a one-loss team, and Clemson to get back in there.
Well, if they keep themselves as a one-loss team, then Penn State has one, at least one.
Right.
So then, you know, numbers will shake that out, and then one of them won't be representing. You know, it's like,
but
man,
a
little bit like Ohio State and Michigan.
It's a stupid ass math problem that I can't figure out.
Yep,
you guys do the math for me. We're moving on. I can't figure it out. But this is one of the reasons I do love college. We talked about seasons being under the microscope, perhaps even greater than the NFL is college football, because you. Not only after each loss do you analyze the loss, you start analyzing their other wins. Then you analyze the losses of the teams that they lost to. Then you start looking at their schedule and start trying to figure out, okay, how can I get this team back into the top four?
Right.
And sometimes it can prove to be impossible. Sometimes it can prove to be easy. But you set up things like where, oh, well, all they have to do is beat this team and this and this team and this team. And they beat all three of those, but they lose to freaking Syracuse.
Right.
It's like, well,
something you don't see coming.
That just went to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
My whole theory just went straight to hell. As are your New York Yankees.
Hey.
Sorry. I didn't know how to segue there. I thought that would be
I didn't
the
like
most,
that one.
That wasn't a good one? You want to try it again?
Yeah, let's try that one again.
Your whole theory just went straight to hell. On to a brighter note.
Yeah, Jason's, there we go. Jason's, didn't that sound better?
Well, they're still down 2-0 no matter how I phrase it.
I don't like that either. Can you change that?
I can't change that, brother. Right. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah. They're playing a team that is significantly more talented than they are, and they haven't been able to steal a win. They've been in position, but they haven't been able to steal a win yet in these first two games on the road.
And if they lose the series, which obviously they're in trouble now down 2-0, they still can come back. But to lose both games 2-1, like those are games with stealing is the perfect phrase. Like they could have snuck out.
Yep. Which is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Which is what you want to do on the
road. And they've been good at home and get some confidence, and they could still get right back in it. But Verlander was amazing on Saturday. And then they had good pitching on Friday from Keuchel. But the Yankees had good pitching, too. It's frustrating to lose both games 2-1 when you're in it with a chance. And the way the game ended on Saturday was frustrating.
And how do you make adjustments? Like, if you're Joe Girardi, in this situation.
Hit better.
Right? Like, what are you supposed to do? This is the league championship series.
Yeah.
The score is supposed to be 2-1.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be 9-8 like we saw the other night in the divisional round. That's not what this is. This is where you see the class of pitchers. This is where you start hearing guys, oh, well, can they pitch on 3 days rest? Can they do this? Can they do that? This is where these legends start being made in baseball.
Like
this series, this is where it starts now. And so for 2-1, two to one scores, that's what are you supposed to do?
Right. I mean, obviously the Yankees' strength to me is their bats. They've been quiet. That's credit to Houston pitching. Hopefully you can get into that bullpen sooner and try to light them up that way. But and being at home should help them, but it's not the end all be all.
Scott, what's up, my man?
Hey, I've called in a lot. I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to talk Yankees baseball with you guys. I know, Jason, you're a big Yankees fan like myself, so this is a big big chance for us to talk some Yankees baseball finally. I think the Yankees are still going to win this series. I think they have had great starting pitching so far. It doesn't look like it's going to get any worse, except for maybe when Sonny Gray starts. But I do think what we've seen so far has been kind of fool's gold for the Astros. Justin Verlander did not dominate the Yankees the way that it's being portrayed. You watched that game, I'm sure, as did I, and the Yankees were swinging at pump fakes. Like, it didn't matter where he threw or placed that ball. I don't want to hear how he put up some stellar, magical afternoon of 13 strikeouts when he struck out guys that were swinging at literally anything, over the plate, not over the plate. So as long as the Yankees learn to keep the bats on their shoulders, which they have to adjust from this. You have to think professional athletes adjust from that. I think the Astros are going to be in a little bit of trouble. You're going to get a lot more walks, and you're going to get some timely hits from guys like Hicks and Gardner that are going to come through and win these 3-2 games or these 4-2 games. They're going to win 2 of 3 at home, and then they're going to go back and win 2 in Houston. They'll take the series in 7. What do you think?
Wow. More confident than I am.
Are you that optimistic, Jason?
Not that optimistic, but one thing Scott says that is kind of been in the Yankees' DNA is they're generally a patient team. They get on base. They can move runners. But they have been swinging and missing a lot. Judge has been a big part of that. But a lot of guys are swinging and missing right now. Verlander was striking out everybody.
But did you see Verlander, like, painting the corner? I mean, really, the strikeouts we saw were a foot off the plate. And it was so easy. Like, you don't throw Judge a fastball when you're up in the count 0-2. Or even 2-2. You have no reason to take that chance. Why do you think Judge hasn't been able to adjust? I haven't seen a 2-strike fastball from the Judge this entire postseason.
That's a good point. I mean, I also think it's got to be something, Damien, where they see it. It's different when you're in the box. We're watching on TV going, oh, why are you swinging at that? Well, it looks different to them.
Yeah.
And you got, you know, that fraction of a second to make a decision. Verlander was doing something effectively enough. I mean, because the strikeout totals were staggering.
I'd probably swing at every freaking pitch that came.
I just close my eyes.
Close my eyes and swing. Yeah, Scott, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. On the National League side, just that quick, and you know, I said when you're losing games 2-1, you're Joe Girardi. What do you tell your team to do? What adjustments do you try to make? Well, on the other side of the spectrum, you have Joe Maddon, who's left to explain a little bit as to why Wade Davis wasn't out there in that position. He said Lackey was going to pitch the next inning. He thought Lackey was a good matchup for the first batter. He didn't feel that there was a good matchup for Turner. Period. So he just left Lackey out there. And of course, the question comes up today is, Why wasn't your man in there? Why didn't you have Wade Davis out there?
I know, and Maddon is getting killed for that. When you read about stuff that people are blaming him for, they kind of even go back to last year, even though he won the World Series. They said they won it despite him. I think he's a good manager, but that's a moment where I think it is fair to question. I mean, you just got to get the game continuing to go on when you're the road team. I mean, I think that's when you put in your closer, your best arm, your best chance to extend the game. You didn't have the lead. You just had to get outs, and I think he put Lackey in a tough spot.
I can't believe this is an actual stat. Lackey had never pitched in back-to-back days in his entire career before last night. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
That's ballsy.
Yeah,
I think that's the second time I've used the term ballsy today. I've exceeded my ballsy quota. But damn, that's the first time in his entire career that he's pitched back-to-back days.
Yeah, and that's probably why he's getting ripped for it.
And here's the other thing. The Cubs, they're having trouble scoring in the playoffs. A team that had scored so many runs during the regular season. Now, granted, as we just said a second ago, baseball changes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of things change in the playoffs. Pitching changes in the playoffs. They have 20 runs in 7 games and 3 runs in the last 2. That's not what you expect from Chicago.
No, and when they got two in the first game against Kershaw, I'm going, oh, boy. You know, there's always – I mean, Kershaw's great, but there's always some – he's had some bad luck in the postseason. He's pitched okay but hasn't had the record to show it. And I thought, oh, man, if they start down with Kershaw already and they get two runs on him, but they couldn't capitalize on that either.
Can either of these teams come back? I know you don't want to put too much on the Yankees because that's your team, and the Yankees are in this and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. The Yankees are the worst team that are left out of the three.
Right.
The Yankees are overachieving. Where they're at right now, they shouldn't be here. They weren't supposed to be here. They were supposed to be here next year at best.
Right.
They were supposed to be here next year. They don't even have Joe Girardi signed to a contract for next year because they didn't think they would be in the position to where they're playing for a berth in the World Series. I don't think they're going to come back from this because the Astros, for a bulk of the season, were the best team in baseball. Hell, they might have been the best team in baseball the entire season.
Yeah, but then they just did it to the Indians with lesser time to do it. They had to do it in three straight, and they did. And they were as good as it gets, and they beat their ace in their yard. I mean, I think they are capable.
No, and I'm not saying they're not capable, but now they're in a position. Well, they basically have to do the same thing, right? They have to win almost that same time
they've
frame
got another
because
game
they're
they
down
can lose,
2-0.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want to lose it, but they have another one. They have a little more wiggle room as a seven-game series opposed to five. But I think both are capable. I really do.
The Cubs came back from a 3-1 deficit in the World Series.
Yes.
So I think they can handle 2-0
going
back to Chicago.
Yeah.
But their bats are going to have to get hot, which they had.
Both
I mean,
teams.
Now we're looking at, you know, we talked about this a lot last year. When is a bat, or, you know, a baseball, when is a slump just a team that's just not performing well?
Right.
Like slumps are generally a couple games. Sometimes they're a couple of weeks. Again, we just said they got 7 runs in 20 games, whereas they were, you know, one of the highest scoring teams all year. Now, all of a sudden, they can't get those runs anymore.
Right.
They're going to have to get some runs. This is going to be the greatest take ever. They're going to have to get some runs to beat the Dodgers.
Yes.
How about that?
Hot take.
Hottest
of takes.
Taking it here on this Monday. One thing that did happen this weekend, it actually happened on Friday, is the Kings preseason came to a merciful conclusion. We'll talk about that, plus our best and worst of the weekend as we continue here with the lowdown on Sports 1140. Well, does that fix all the Raiders' problems right there, Navarro Bowman?
It helps, I think.
I mean, we speculated that's where he could wind up. You and I both think he has a lot more legs than the San Francisco 49ers appear to do. So, Navarro Bowman is the newest member of the Oakland Raiders, and hell, it can't hurt.
Right.
If nothing else, it's 1 year, $3 million, it can't hurt.
I like the fit.
Yeah. And we all did. He doesn't even have to move. We speculated, hey, this guy doesn't even want to move.
Yeah. And what was the story that they had a team they wanted to – was it the Saints?
The Saints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't, all of a sudden have won 3 in a row.
Right.
Maybe they're right again.
Maybe. NFL is a confusing place.
Yes, it is.
That should be its slogan. Also confusing is this right here. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the San Antonio Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge have agreed to a 3-year, $72 million contract extension. Raise your hand if you had that. Just for purposes of this being radio, nobody put their hand up.
No, because I can still have it fresh in my mind when Kawhi got hurt against the Warriors, and this is going to be a team that's going to count on LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he fizzled.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he said he hasn't felt like he's been right in San Antonio. Apparently, he and Pop had a good long talk and talked it out, which is great. That's awesome. But he has not been anywhere near the all-star that he once was, at least in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, but good for him.
Kawhi is going to miss game one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard. Sorry. Let me try that again. Kawhi Leonard is not expected to play in Wednesday's home opener against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Pop said that on Friday. So it could be Pop being Pop, but
he usually doesn't play around with that.
Nah, he hasn't played this preseason. In fact, he missed all of preseason. He missed all of training camp. He's been dealing with some issues in his left quad.
Okay.
So there's no timetable for his return.
But they need him for the long haul, too.
Right. Yeah. Again, this isn't football.
Yeah, right.
This is basketball.
They could start 0-2 and be just fine.
Another guy who's not playing the first game, CJ McCollum. Worst rule in sports?
That's on my worst of the weekend.
Okay. Well, let's do best and worst of the weekend, and let's lead with that then.
Yeah, it is a bad rule. And if anybody has seen it, there was a minor scuffle in a preseason game. And by letter of the law, yes, he left the bench. We need to revisit this. It needs to be revisited because the inequities of the – I get why it was done. It's really back to the malice in the palace. Yeah. But even if when suspensions are handed, you and I get in a fight, I take a swing, I miss, I don't make contact, I'm probably getting a game. Chris leaves the bench to just check it out. He gets a game. That doesn't seem fair. I swung at you. A player could swing at someone else, and they get a game and not hit somebody. Where McCollum stepped on the floor. He did. He gets a game, and it's a season opener. It was a preseason game. I feel like that one, they are going no, you know, it's black or white. So you step on the court, you're out. We saw it with Amari Stoudemire in the playoffs years ago. He's, by definition, yeah, he was on the court. He didn't do anything. He didn't instigate anymore, didn't make this go farther. I feel like they could have some judgment in this.
And that's why it's going to be really difficult to change the rule right now. Because you're always going to have the Phoenix Sun fan who's going to say, oh, you're changing the rule now?
Right.
We lost a guy in the freaking playoffs when we were supposed to beat the Spurs because of this rule.
Yeah.
Gonna be a tough one to change. I understand it. Don't leave the bench.
Right.
Don't go check it out. Don't. I know your instinct is to jump, and you can't. If the coaches know enough to instinctually jump up and throw your arms out and think you're gonna stop 12 guys from running on the floor, they know enough to do that. If you're a player, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I don't like it either. Make that clear. At the worst of the weekend, I'm all about it. I'm with you. But you, as a player, you just have to know you can't. You cannot.
Are you? I'm just thinking even further on this. Am I doing more for the team? Are you doing more for the team if I see you in a fight or something's going on and I jump out there to be supportive to whether I'm getting in it or just like, hey, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? Does that do more for the locker room? Like, oh man, CJ went out there. He had my back. Or is it? I don't think anybody's mad if you don't, but if somebody's getting worked a little bit, like, where were you guys?
But
that doesn't really happen that
but
much.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Like, this is basketball. Like, no
People
one gets
really
worked.
Fighting.
Like, there's no Larry Bird, Dr. J anymore. Like, if that were to happen, then, yeah, you probably
–
you approach this differently because they're not going to suspend 24 players and, you know, six coaches from each side. But I understand the point that you're trying to – I don't think we get that far anymore.
Okay.
Like,
but
that
should the rule change? Or
yes.
Is it,
No. Absolutely. Absolutely, the rule should change. But until it does, you have to know. I think it's harder because in this situation with the Trailblazers, it happened right in front of them. And I think it's significantly more difficult when it happens in front of your bench to not instinctually jump up and say, whoa, what's going on, as opposed to coming from the other side of the court and trying to step on the court that way. But as a player, you just have to know you can't do it.
Yeah. I think it's I get the premise of the rule. I think it's a silly one. Or can at least should have some judgment in my opinion.
My worst of the weekend was actually Friday, and it was – actually, it'll constitute a best and a worst. I have a selfish best that we'll get to in just a second. Best is the Kings preseason is over. Mm-hmm. Worst is I actually sat through a Warriors-Kings preseason game. Which I can't figure out why I did that, because we didn't have a show Saturday. We didn't have a show Sunday. I knew we were going to be dominated by the NFL on Monday. I had no clue. I was sitting there watching it wondering, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And I sat through it.
Yeah. And of this preseason, the first game was the best. The last one was actually somewhat entertaining, but I'm going on a totally different scale. Yeah, I'm just glad that's done. It's done.
Yes, your scale.
Yeah,
your scale's a
veterans
whole lot different.
Veterans were out. Yeah, it was just Warriors weren't the same.
You know, I did want to see it. I actually wanted to see some of the guys that I'm sure the Warriors are going to cut.
Yeah,
that's who I was like. I'm curious. I'm like, because I feel like some of these guys might wind up on other teams. Mm-hmm. What happens with them? And so I'm going to check it out for a few minutes, and then a few minutes turned into a lot of minutes, and then I'm flipping over to Clemson, I just flipped over from Clemson. It's like, all right. And then Washington State and Cal started happening, and it's like, oh, okay, what's happening here? Why do I keep going back to this Kings game? Like, what am I looking for? I wasn't looking for nothing.
Yeah.
I think so basically what I'm saying is the worst is me. Worst of the weekend is me.
No.
My judgment. Yeah. My judgment is obviously bad.
I have one more for my worst, at least, and it goes back
double negative for Jason
Ross.
Well,
just one more. We talked about it at the beginning, and – Injuries in the NFL, it happens every week. But to lose Aaron Rodgers, it's just I'm not a Packer fan per se, but I'm a fan of his. I think I love to watch him play. I love to watch great athletes do what they're great at, and he is. And it's going to be without him. And I think fans just in general lose out on that, and it's too bad. There was nothing dirty or malicious. Some begged if, hey, was that a late hit? I didn't think so. I thought it was clean, but it's too bad. It's a reality of the sport, and it's just one of my worst of the weekend.
Who was it? Was it Alex Smith who got hit and got up and was really fired up over it?
Yeah, against Pittsburgh, yeah.
There's a lot of angry quarterbacks in the NFL yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of them. Best of the weekend for me, I'm going to go selfish.
Okay.
Salt and pepper.
Yes.
Salt and pepper was fun at the downtown shout out. It was fun that Chris came and hang out. I know you couldn't come. I want to say something. I don't know if I'm allowed to. I'm going to get – normally I would never ask for permission to say something on the air, but I do want to ask for permission. It was a hot topic at the downtown shout out yesterday.
Okay.
But I'm going to go make sure it's okay. I'll bring it up, and if it's not, I won't. Sorry to
But you got on the stage. It was awesome.
It was not awesome. But what was cool – no, I'll tell you what was cool about it is I just wanted to – I didn't want to get on stage with Salt-N-Pepa. Yeah. I didn't want to – I just wanted to meet them. They're hip-hop pioneers, and I think sometimes the longer someone's career goes on, you forget, like, what they were in, like, 1986 mm-hmm. or 87. And, like, these women were pioneers to the game, and they still put on great shows.
That's what you said. Their show was good.
Their show was – their show – I saw the Gucci Mane open for the weekend, mm-hmm. and he just stood there and rapped. And it was like, dude, why am I watching this? This is stupid. But Salt-N-Pepa performs, and, like, that – like, they're better than most hip-hop acts now.
Mm.
So it was great. And, yes, it was cool to be on stage
awesome.
With them, and I got a little – I think Salt liked me.
Apparently.
And
I've seen pictures to prove it.
I am running with that until the day I die.
Absolutely.
I think Salt liked me.
What about Spinderella?
I was trying to get – so people were laughing at me because as we were dancing, I was like making my way.
Quickly, yeah.
I wanted to get up and stand with Spinderella.
Okay.
So I was going to ease my way back there and say, hey, can I stand up here with you?
Yeah.
But she came down and rapped her verse from the stage, the main stage, so I never got up there. So if you notice, and I'm sure there's plenty of video, when Spinderella comes down, I make my way back to the front.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. The downtown chat out was fun. It was great to meet so many people who came out there yesterday. We'll come back. I think I saw the biggest interception in NFL history yesterday. Also, De'Aaron Fox is drawing the ire of many in the state of California. We'll explain as we continue here with the lowdown. De'Aaron Fox is drawing the ire of many by saying In-N-Out burgers are overrated. Apparently, that's not something you can say in the state of California.
You can. Are you right,
Jason?
You kind of shrugged. Are you insinuating? In-N-Out burgers?
No, I wouldn't say they're overrated, but that's not to me. It's not blasphemy.
Some people would consider. Okay. Some people, because you're, it's like In-N-Out versus Five Guys, right? There's no other comparison. It's In-N-Out versus Five Guys.
If we're comparing.
Would you compare them? Doesn't it have to be like a drive-thru fast food to talk about that?
Well, if we're comparing.
That's what I think
isn't
about.
That what Five Guys is?
I'm picking Five Guys.
Is Five Guys a drive-thru?
Not usually, I don't think.
I don't think so.
But I would pick Five Guys over In-N-Out, and I like In-N-Out.
What are you doing in this conversation, Damian?
Five Guys is a drive-thru, I think, on the East Coast. It's not here. Maybe it's not a drive-thru. Or maybe it's a place you go in and get your burger and leave. I don't know. I always got it
peanuts.
To go. Did they have peanuts?
They
I can't remember. It's been so long. It's been so long, I can't remember.
That's the selling point?
No, but I'm just saying that's what they had.
You can get peanuts when you get your burger. Who doesn't want to get peanuts while they get the...
you're waiting for your food.
I do remember.
Crack a nut.
That's the name of a... Hey, I hate this show sometimes. In-N-Out Burger. Focus. Where were we going?
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. Burger. Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
That's where we were going.
Where were we going?
I don't know.
Oh, I miss. That's if you ask me one thing that I do miss, it is In-N-Out Burger.
Okay.
Because I live by one, right by one, and I swear I can only smell it at night after I've had a few drinks.
That's the grilled onions.
Like when the Lyft is driving by, it's like, man, why is that burger smell so freaking strong?
Yeah.
But apparently, there are some Kings fans ready to trade him based on his assessment of the. Of his favorite burger chain. JR, what's up, man?
Nut.
Yes, thanks, JR. Thank you.
You get free peanuts, and no, it's not a drive up here, but it is a drive up on the East Coast. You are correct.
Okay, thank you. I thought so.
Hey, but free peanuts, that does, J-Rods, it's almost like me, that does tip it in the scales over In-N-Out.
Thank you, JR.
What's the steakhouse? Logan House? Is that Logan's. The peanut place?
Yeah. you. Is it Logan's? Yeah, Logan's.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm glad we got this established.
Yeah,
this
yeah that's all. Yeah, there we go. Hey, real quick. First of all, are you just a piece of meat to these girls, Damon? I mean,
I believe so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because they just want. I just want them to treat you like a person.
Nah, I'm not worried about that.
You're good with that?
I'm fine. Yeah,
okay.
I'm fine.
Basketball question, J. Russ. How many games are you doing this year, if not all of them?
Well, I'll be there for all the games, but you mean broadcasting play-by-play?
Yeah.
No games this year.
You're not doing any with Gary?
No, well, I mean, I'll be there for every game with Gary, but he's doing the play-by-play.
Well, that's what I mean.
Then I'm there. Yeah, I'm there for all of them.
Okay, because I don't know if Damon knows your track record. Does he know your history of wins and losses?
Well, the Kings have done their part on that one, JR.
Because I think we turn a leaf, we turn the page, and with you there, we're 41-0, at least when you're doing the home games.
I like it. I like where you're going with that.
You like that effort?
Yep. And we'll all have peanuts.
We'll be 41-41. All right. See ya. I'm excited, dude.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye, JR. Good God bless it. You know, I never know where he's going.
I don't either.
I think.
But I sure know where I've been.
Hey. I was going to hit with the next line, but
I don't know.
Can't remember it either.
No.
But I don't know where I'm. Promises.
It's a lot of mumbling.
I did all my singing yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic edition of End of the Road at the end of the.
Oh, really?
Showdown. It was
nice.
It was pretty spectacular.
Nice.
Chris did not take part in the singing.
Well, that's not like
but
Chris.
I
wasn't
there
for it.
Oh.
What do you mean you weren't there for it? You were like right next to me.
I wasn't.
Why weren't you? You were there when we took the picture. How were you not there?
You
when
guys
we
took a picture before that.
No, we didn't. You're
yeah,
in the picture.
Yeah, you took two pictures.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you guys remember where you were?
I remembered.
We were downtown somewhere. I recall that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the alcohol was flowing pretty heavily yesterday. I can't lie. But I
looked like a good time.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was the end of an era. We're not going to be associated with KSFM anymore, and that's where I started. So we had a moment, and someone started to say it's so hard to say goodbye. And I thought, well, I feel like End of the Road would be more appropriate. Mm-hmm. So group rendition of End of the Road
started. Well done.
Thought it was spectacular. You know, I don't think we would have won American Idol with it, but it was.
Never know.
I think we may have seen the biggest interception in NFL history yesterday. And when I say biggest, I'm talking 6'4", 322 mm-hmm. pounds biggest. He caught that ball on the two and waddled into the end zone.
Waddled.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, and he didn't waddle. That's a big boy right
yeah.
there. He got in there and he made it happen. That was a fun game yesterday, 52-38. I had just discovered that Sunday Ticket on DirecTV, when you have the Sunday Ticket, it has like condensed games.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched like five football games this morning. I watched Raiders, 49ers, and here at the studio, I was watching that Lions Saints game.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That game with that score, and then the Saints had three. So there are four defensive scores in that game?
Five.
Oh, wait,
no. Sorry. There were four defensive scores, one special team score.
That's right. That's what the other one was. Well, that was another one Nate Lundy got right. There'll be a lot of points. Now he was thinking it for the offenses, but defense and special teams contributed to that.
52 points for the New Orleans Saints. 186 yards for Drew Brees.
This all is adding up, isn't it, this week?
Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Matt Stafford, three touchdowns, three interceptions.
Yeah, and he threw for a bunch of yards.
312.
But less points.
A lot less.
Weird week.
Football stuff is weird.
Yep.
We'll recap all of the biggest stories in football, including Aaron Rodgers, the Oakland Raiders loss, and we're going to have to get into this. I've been trying to avoid it. I actually asked Chris, how long do you think we can bury the Colin Kaepernick story? He looked at me like I was stupid, like you got to do it. So we'll touch on that. We'll let you know what it means. It almost certainly means he's never going to play in the NFL again and why the timing of this is so interesting. Plus, things we got right, things we got wrong. Kick off the third hour, the third and final hour of the Lowdown next.